When I pulled out of my driveway this morning to come hear confessions, and I drove down the road, and then I had to turn back for my ice scraper, I was feeling a little bit depressed because of the weather. Oh, my. It is October, not December. It's October. And every October, we honor our Blessed Mother by highlighting the goodness and the power of the rosary. And I've been reflecting on that blessing, that devotional in our life of faith during our Thursday night community holy hours. But October is also Respect Life Month, and not just during this election year, but every year it is Respect Life Month. And this is also a blessing for us. So I want to take a little time tonight and tomorrow to reflect on that. We are called to reverence life in its various stages. The youth and the aged, the healthy, the people with sickness and disabilities, the child in the womb, the immigrant, the refugee, the widow, and the orphan, the poor and the vulnerable. We're called to reverence life at each of its stages, in its various stages. God is the author of life, and God decides when it begins, life begins, and should decide when our earthly life comes to an end. We believe, as Catholics, as Christians, in the dignity of life from conception to natural death. The Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, the living Word of God, speaks of how all of us were knit together in our mother's womb, that we were and are made in the image and likeness of God. All of us have the right to life, the God-given right to life. This right should be safeguarded, defended, reverenced, and we all have to play a role to make sure that this is the case. Jesus responds to the Pharisees and the Herodians in tonight's gospel. He says to them, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God." The Pharisees were a Jewish sect of Jesus' time, and the Herodians were connected to Roman rule, governance, and they normally did not see eye to eye, but on this occasion they came together because of their dislike for Jesus. They wanted to trap him. They asked him, "Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not?" Jesus was in a tough spot. If Jesus said no to that question, the Herodians could have charged him for initiating a revolt against Rome. After all, Jesus Christ was a great leader, the best leader, a perfect leader, we would say. And Jesus would have encouraged his followers to not pay the government tax. You can see how this would have been a threat to the Herodians. They could have charged him likewise. If Jesus said yes to this question in relation to the census tax, the Pharisees could have charged him for being unfaithful to Judaism. The Pharisees were hoping for a national independence from Rome. So what does Jesus Christ do? What did he do in this situation? He had them look at a Roman coin and ask whose inscription and image is on it, and then says, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." In having them look at the image and the inscription, Jesus avoids the trap, because in paying the tax, a person is simply giving back to Caesar what is Caesar's. The coin has his face on it. It is his. Therefore, Jesus can be seen as not compromising his religious beliefs. And yet, there's something deeper going on with his rhetoric. In drawing attention to the inscription and the image of the coin, and therefore showing this coin belongs to Caesar, Jesus would have challenged his hearers and their loyalty to God, or lack thereof. Through Jesus' rhetoric, he would have caused his audience to recall that they, each and every one of them, including us today, are made in God's image and likeness. By saying, "Hey, look at the image and inscription of this coin. because of the terminology that Jesus was using, they would have thought to themselves, wait a second, image, we're made in the image of God, in the likeness of God, and therefore should be given over to God, loyal to God, primarily. We are His. And so this exchange that was supposed to trap Jesus in His ways turned it in a challenge to Jesus' listeners to be loyal toward God, primarily serve the Lord, and at the same time to fulfill civil duties. Interesting exchange that Jesus has with His hearers and listeners in today's gospel. In a month from now, some people will be happy in relation to the election. Some will be sad and frustrated. Some will despair and become very discouraged. No matter what happens, we will still be called to primarily serve the Lord and carry out our civil duties. We will never see utopia, a perfect existence on this side of the grave, but as Catholics, as Christians, we are called to continue to help bring about God's kingdom on earth, and we should definitely enter in and to embrace this duty, not run from it. I know at times in thinking about all that I'm seeing on television, I just want to run and hide in a little Christian community. But we're actually called to fulfill our civil duties. After watching the first presidential debate, I thought to myself, how did we get to this point? And I know I wasn't alone. I know I wasn't alone. How did we get to this point? And I thought, we can do better. And I thought, I can do better. I can be more actively involved. As human beings, once again, we are made in the image and likeness of God, and we are called to primarily be given over to Him and His ways. Within the baptismal liturgy, parents and godparents stand before the child to be baptized. I love this moment. It's at the very beginning of the baptismal liturgy. And the parents and the godparents make the sign of the cross on the child, claiming that child for God and His ways. It's a powerful moment. We are called to be given over to God, primarily. When it comes to our civil duty, then, when it comes to politics, our faith should inform our politics. Our politics should not inform our faith. Our faith should inform our politics. We are first Catholics. We are first Christians before we are Republicans or Democrats or Independents, etc. We are first Catholics. We are first Christians. We are given over to God because we are made in His image and likeness. In our baptism, we are claimed for Jesus in His ways and His teachings. As the bishops have made clear, in being affiliated with a political party, we must help to bring the party in line with the teachings of Christ's church. I love this quote that is given through the bishop's document, the U.S. bishop's document, Forming Consciences for a Faithful Citizenship. I quote it every year, whether it be in a bulletin or through a homily. And this is the quote. As citizens, we should be guided more by our moral convictions than by our attachment to a political party or interest group. When necessary, our participation should help transform the party to which we belong. We should not let the party transform us in such a way that we neglect or deny fundamental moral truths or approve intrinsically evil acts. We are called to bring together our principles and our political choices, our values and our votes, to help build a civilization of truth and love. We as Christians, as Catholics, we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that He continues to govern us through His church, and His truth is safeguarded through the power of the Holy Spirit as He promised. And we are called to fight for it in every sphere of our lives. So our political activism matters. Our votes matter. What we do in the civil realm matters. Being educated, informed in the way of our Catholic faith matters. Our intellectual formation that I spoke about last weekend, or in the past few weeks anyways, that matters, because then we know what we're called to fight for. Our faith should inform all that we do. So concluding then with the right to life during this Respect Life Month, this is a preeminent issue, a foundational issue. If we do not have the right to life, we have a formula for complete and utter chaos and destruction in our country and world. As Mother Teresa made clear, if we are allowed to abort a child in the womb, the most innocent and vulnerable, what things are not allowed? Everything goes then in our society. Everything is allowed. And this is scary. This is scary. Especially in a world, as the scripture reads, where the enemy, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Certain issues weigh heavier than other issues. Respecting life is definitely one of them, from conception to natural death. This should be reflected in our political activism, in our vote, in our care for others every day. We can do better. We all know it, and we should, with the help of God's grace. We are all made in the image and likeness of God.